Missions is important. It is the greatest calling of the church. And right now, missions, whether it be at home or abroad, now I will say abroad is even more difficult with the persecution out there, but wherever you're at today as a missionary, it is difficult. If you want to speak up for the Lord, you're going to face, at least in America, ridicule, and possibly even in the near future, some real persecution. You want to come back for tonight's message. You really do. But I want to speak tonight about mission, but not just about missions. I want to speak to you about the greatest missionary of all time. Now, some would say Paul was the greatest missionary of all time. And I'll tell you, Paul was a great missionary. No doubt, the revival that's in Paul that spread through Asia is probably the same revival spread into Europe and even into the Americas as time went on. Paul probably started more churches than any of the apostles in the early days of the church. He paid a price for it. You can read in Corinthians what all he went through. But he wasn't the greatest missionary of all time. The greatest missionary was the one who made it all possible. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to speak this morning on Christ's mission. If you would look at John 1, verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and will beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want you to realize he wasn't the first missionary to face rejection. He was the first, I should say, put it that way. He understands what it's like to be rejected when you care. Listen, there are folks in your family, folks that you work with, folks in your neighborhood, that you want to see saved. Amen? I hope you do. You don't want to see them go to hell, do you? So there are folks in your family, in your neighborhood, and coworkers you want to see saved. Amen?
Amen?
We do. And when we try and tell them, and they don't take it as us caring, they take it as us interfering. Our Lord understands that. Amen? When you tell them that He died for them, they perceive you as being fanatical. They did Him as well. Amen? They perceive you as being out of the normal. Well, we are. Amen? They will tell you you're proselyting. No. We're trying to redeem. Amen? We're trying to bring folks back home to the Father. In that. And so our Lord faced those things. But here it is. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Listen, our Lord knew that when He walked this earth, most would reject Him. But yet He still came, didn't He? Countless, probably billions, have said no. But there are probably millions that have said yes. Amen? And those are the ones He came for. Even if it's not in the millions, which it probably is, they're the ones He came for. Amen? He knew. He said that only a few would find it. But He came for the few that would be willing to find it. And I want to speak to you tonight on Christ, or this morning, on Christ as the greatest missionary. Christ's mission when He came to earth. What His mission was, what it revealed, and who He became to do that. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house this morning. I thank You for the singing. Oh, it was praiseworthy this morning, Lord. I trust it was pleasing to Your ears as You not only heard the voices, but the hearts that were singing in worship to You this morning. Thinking about what they sang and what all You did for them and how much You loved them. For the worship we did with the offerings as we gave, Lord, as we love You and want You to know that we appreciate the chance to be a part of reaching the world with the gospel, whether it be through going personally, prayerfully, and with our tithes and offerings. We thank You for that. And now as we come to the Word this morning, Father, and we're going to speak about Your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the mission that He came for, the greatest missionary that ever walked the earth. Lord, may it stir our hearts. May it focus us on the fact that every one of us here that is saved is a missionary for you. And those here that aren't saved, well, they're the ones you came to die for as well. And I pray they'd come to you this morning while there's still time, Lord. Bless, Lord. Take over now, Lord. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Use me as a divine instrument of Thine this morning, Father. Let me not stray from Your Word. Let me be focused on the message You've given me. Help me to be slow of speech, clear of thought, but mostly filled with the Holy Spirit. I ask in my Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The greatest missionary of all time, our Lord Jesus Christ. He left heaven. He left His throne as God there in heaven. He allowed Himself to come down to earth for the greatest mission trip of all time. His mission wasn't just to reach one country with the gospel or one neighborhood with the gospel. His mission was to reach the world, to redeem all of mankind from the fallen sin nature as a result of Adam's sin. The entire world is born in sin. The entire world chooses to sin. And He came on a mission to buy us back. The good news of the gospel to share with us. I'm so glad He came. We ought to sing His praises. Amen? We ought to give Him glory. We ought to shout hallelujah. Church should be some of the most exciting times of our life when we come in during the week. It's difficult out there. The stress is out there. It's hard out there. This is our haven. We ought to come in here, greet one another with a smile, with a holy kiss if it's holy, sharing prayer requests, and our singing, and our amening, and our testimonies, and our giving ought to all be done cheerfully and with excitement. It ought to be. People, when they come here, ought to see something. But our Lord came. Number one, as a missionary, He came. I think of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 there, when the Lord said, "Here, who shall go, come and go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." Our Lord came. In Luke 19 and verse 10, just look at some of these verses this morning. We're going to be turning to quite a few of them. And most of them are just one or two verses at a time. But Luke 19 and verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." What is your mission in this world? As a Christian, what are you dedicating your life to? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He spent His entire life focused on the ones that would hear the message and believe. In Mark 2, in verse 17, when Jesus heard, He said to them, "Saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Someone who doesn't think they're a great sinner, doesn't admit that they're a sinner who's offended a holy God, He cannot help. But when someone realizes, "I've sinned, I've broken God's law, I've transgressed the law, I'm guilty, the wages of sin is death, I'm guilty of that, and I'm worthy of death." Someone who says, "I have sinned," He can set free. My friend, someone who says they're not a sinner, 1 John 1 and verse 8, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." If you're not willing to admit you're a sinner before a holy God, then He cannot be your Savior. You have to realize you're lost, that you're drowning in a sea of sin, that you're worthy of hell. And if you realize that, verse 9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. One of the greatest tragedies when someone will say, I am not doing anything that bad. My sins aren't that bad. They're not as bad as the person next to me. Or perhaps there are those that will say their lifestyle is not even sin, when they know that the Word of God clearly states it is. They have called God a liar. And until they realize that their sin is sin, He cannot help them. He came to call the sinners. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's will. John chapter 5. John 5. He came to do the will of the Father. John 9 verse 5. No, I got the wrong chapter there. I'm on John 5 verse 30. I'm sorry. John 5 verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father, which hath sent me. Again, in 2 Peter 3:9, what is God's will? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me ask you, what is the mission of your life this morning? What are you devoting your life to? What's really important to you? What's the most important thing to you as you travel through this world that you want to see accomplished? What mark do you want to leave on the world? The world knows that Christ came into the world, but He didn't just come as a man. He came into the world was not the beginning of Jesus. You must realize, if He is your Lord and Savior, He never had a beginning, because He is God. Amen? He is God. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The Word there, all three times used in verse 1, is capitalized. It's a name given to the Lord Jesus Christ. The same was in the beginning with God. All things are made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we behold His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Galatians 4 tells us about that time when He came into the world. Galatians 4 and verse number 4 and 5 tells us this: But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that He might receive the adoption of sons. He never violated God's law. He kept every aspect, every point, every jot and every tittle of God's law. He asked them, which of you committed me of sin? No one could. His crime was claiming He was God. That's what they held Him guilty for. They were upset that He healed the sick and made the blind to see and raised the dead. They didn't like those things because it showed who He was, and they didn't want to admit who He was. What a tragedy. They saw Him. They could have confessed Him. They could have believed. They could have been saved. The whole multitude saw Him. But only a few did. But God sent Him into the world. He came on a mission trip. He came from eternity. He always has been. He always will be. He is eternal. The eternal God. He came from glory. The glory that was with the Father before the world ever began. John 17. In John 17. And verse number 5. John 17. And now, Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Amen. Oh, my friend, listen to me. He is very God. But when He came into this world as the greatest missionary, as the Lamb of God that taketh away sin of the world, as the Son of God come to die for lost man, He temporarily laid aside His glory. and took on a body through the birth, the virgin birth. He came here to live about 33 and a half years. The last 3.5 years, he spent his earthly ministry showing folks, revealing who he was and who he was going to die for. He came for that purpose. From the day he entered this world, he knew his mission was a cross. He shall save his people from his sin. Emmanuel, God with us. He shall save his people from their sins. He knew it was the cross. In Genesis 3:15, God promised he was going to send his son, that he would bruise the head of the serpent and the serpent would bruise his heel. He was going to hang on that cross. He told them that if he'd be lifted up, he would draw all men unto him. He hung between heaven and earth. As his mission here came to a close, as he died on that cross, and his last words were, "It is finished." And then he commended his spirit into the Father's hands. He came and he conquered for us. He was victorious. He counted the cost as an investment to reach us with. And if you want to be a missionary, count your life and what it will cost you, not as a cost, not as a sacrifice, but as an investment in the souls that will cross your path. As God leads you to those souls, count the cost, not as a sacrifice, but as an investment with great eternal dividends for every soul you reach. Is priceless. Amen? Every soul you reach. And so as he came as a missionary, he revealed some things. In John 14, he revealed God's person. He was God in the flesh. John 14 and verse 9. Jesus said to them, "Have I been so long with you, and hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." That is where your cults don't like to go. They want to believe he was a created being, but he was not a created being. He was a divine. He was God. Amen? "And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The word that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelt in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me." He showed us who God was. When he walked this earth, the reason he healed the sick and raised the dead and did all those miracles was to show folks he was not a mere mortal man. He was very God in the flesh. He showed it that they might look to him as the Lamb of God as he was going to that cross. He showed them that they might come to him, but he knew that when he came to his own received him not. But he came with the good news. But as many as received him, to them give you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That was his mission. He expected to be ridiculed, to be persecuted. He knew the cross would be very abusive as he was on, even before being nailed at the cross. He knew on that cross, the hardest thing to endure would be on our sins were placed upon him, and the Father and Son, the only time in eternity, separated because of our sin. When he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He knows that a missionary can be one of the loneliest things you'll ever do. It's hard because sometimes no one else may agree with you. No one else may even stand with you at your workplace or in your family or your neighborhood. And it gets very lonely as they ridicule you and they mock you, but you're doing it for the few that will hopefully, eventually, see the light and come. Amen? He revealed God's plan, John 3. He revealed God's plan. And that, as a missionary, that's what our life is to do. Our lives are here to reveal God's plan, to bear the good news, the gospel. In John 3 and verse 13, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. There is his eternal being right there. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Listen, our lives should be spent lifting him up. Our lives should be spent lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our mission. To point folks to him, to tell them the message, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have good news. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. If they'll come, he will save. If you're lost this morning and you will come, he will save the others. We sang it earlier. Jesus saves. Amen? I thought we sang it. Didn't we sing it earlier? Do you believe he saves? Do you believe he saves to the utmost? He that believeth on him is not condemned. Hallelujah, there's the good news. Here's the warning. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We're here to bring good news. That though they are condemned, they can be pardoned. Though they are condemned, they can be forgiven. Though they have offended, he is willing to pardon, forgive, redeem them through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood that he shed on Calvary. That is our mission. When our Lord came, he came with power. Amen? And when he was leaving this earth, Matthew 28, he told us about that power. And as missionaries, he has given us that very power that he himself possessed. Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus saith unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's why he can say in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen? In Acts 1 and verse 8. In Acts 1 and verse 8. Here is that power promised. But you shall in verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. And that was fulfilled in Acts 2 when the Holy Spirit came. They were filled. They spake the word. And those of all nations were there and heard the gospel and went back to all nations, like he said they were there in verse 8, to carry forth the gospel in power. Peter, who cowered at the cross, now filled with the Spirit, preaches a great message, a great message of conviction in the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. To the point to where they say when they heard this in verse 37, they were pricked in their heart and said, Peter, to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then said Peter unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In other words, you'll get the same power. When you are saved, you are saved to serve. You are saved to testify. You are saved to lift them up. You are saved to go tell a lost world. They don't have to die lost. They can die redeemed. Amen? They can have everlasting life. Heaven can be their home. Though they've offended a great God, he gave the great gift of salvation through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blood he shed on Calvary, that they could be forgiven and pardoned. What is the mission of your life? What drives you to get up and go each day? When you see folks out there in the world, what drives you? What is our mission? What is your mission for your life? If God were to write your tombstone, what would He write on your tombstone? Here lies with your name, and then He writes a one-line statement about your life. Or maybe a short paragraph on there. What would He write? If God were to write you an obituary, what would He write? That shows the mission of your life. He came to reveal God, the person of God, to the people of this world. All that we ever know about God, we know through the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the written Word. He was the living Word. Amen? They are one and the same. We know through what He did in this world about the person of God. He came to reveal the plan of God, salvation, to people that dwelt in darkness, that were living in sin. He came to reveal God's power over the devil, over the world, over flesh, over sin, and hallelujah, over death. He came to reveal that. And in order to do so, He took upon Him, point number three, He took upon Him the form of a servant. I want you to imagine, you can go to Philippians 2, I'll be there in a minute, the God of heaven coming to John and saying, baptize me. The creature baptizing the Creator. No wonder John was hesitant. Wouldn't you have been? No wonder when he came to wash Peter's feet, Peter said, oh no, Lord, I should wash your feet. You're the Creator, I'm the creature. But he served them. He washed and dried their feet. He served them the Last Supper. He served them. He came as a servant. He didn't have to heal the sick. He did it as a servant. He didn't have to do all those miracles. He did it as a servant. In Philippians chapter 2, our Lord clearly tells us in verse 5, this is the mission statement now, that is mine being you, which is also in Christ Jesus. This is how you will be mission-minded with your life. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, are we not a child of God? We're royalty, right? The Bible calls us royal priesthood, amen? But although we are that, He thought it hard to be equal with God. Can you imagine that we are a joint heir with the Son? Romans tells us, Romans 8. I can't imagine that. But yet, we should be in this world as a servant. But made Himself of no reputation. He didn't care if He ever was known for what He did by those in this world. The Father knows He's given His life to Him. Amen? The Father knows He's doing it for Him. And took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. If you're going to make your life a mission for Christ, you're going to have to humble yourself and give up your own dreams. Give up what you could make for yourself. And the flesh isn't going to like that. And humble yourself to live in the Spirit. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death. And I'm telling you, if this world goes on much longer, we may be required to make that choice. If someone were to come into these services today and hold us hostage, and pull out their machetes and say, unless you convert to Islam, I will take off your head. What would you do? Well, that's not going to happen. Oh, really? Wake up and look at the horizon and see what's coming. Now, He's given us the power. Amen? But it starts now with our lives. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The cross is a shameful way to die. It was for criminals. It was for murderers and rapists and thieves who were crucified. It was for those who betrayed their government. They were the ones that were crucified. And it was done with great pleasure to cause as much pain as could physically be caused before they left this world, to make them sorry for what they had done. And they crucified Him with common thieves on that kind of cross. Hebrews tells us He endured the shame of the cross for the joy that was set before Him. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. He did it for us. He endured that shame of the cross, was crucified with murderers and thieves, because He saw us at the end. He knew you would say yes if you have done so. And if you haven't, He's pleading for you to say yes. He knew that. And that was His mission. Let me ask you again. What is your mission? I will tell you what God says your mission is. Turn to John 17. John 17. You cannot get away from this. You may strike this verse out of your Bible, but it will not remove the verse from your life as a Christian. As He's going to the cross, He's concluding His mission trip, He's going to die for the lost. Verse 18, "As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." Why did the Father send Him? To seek and to save that which was lost. He came to call sinners to repentance. He came to do the will of the Father. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You cannot get around that you haven't been sent to the same thing. Look at John 21. John 21, the resurrection and the cross is now over. He is now risen. John 20. And He's telling them, as He's preparing to leave His world, He reminds them again. Verse 21, John 20. "Then said Jesus to them again." To them again. Twice now. "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." You can't get around the fact, folks, if you are a child of God, you are a missionary in this world. Whether you give your life to it or not doesn't change the calling that God's put on your life. You may not be a full-time missionary as far as going to a foreign field or being a pastor, an evangelist, or something like that, but at your workplace, that is your mission field. Your family is your mission field. Your neighborhood is your mission field. This community is our collective mission field. What are we doing with it? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'll conclude here unless God leads me elsewhere. Verse 21 reminds us the price of our salvation. "For me hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." But verse 20 tells us what we are as a result of that. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." In other words, as ambassadors, they're praying for folks to be reconciled to God, to come to salvation. It's a mission statement. Let me ask you. God may not write your tombstone here, and He may not write your obituary here,
but he is recording in heaven where he thinks. He's recording our lives.
That person he sent into your life, he's recording what you did with them. He had them cross your path on purpose. That person he put into your family, he put you there for them. That job you have with those co-workers, he puts you there for them.
The fact that you're part of this church in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, is on purpose. It's for them. So let me ask you. As God looks at my life, I have to answer. As you look at your life, you have to answer and make the choices. If you were to write right now about our lives and our mission up to this point, what would you write? I'm being serious this morning. Now listen, yesterday is history. I'm glad 1 John 1:9 is still there. I can't go back and change yesterday. And maybe I'll go back to someone I didn't tell yesterday and tell them today. Amen? That I can do. But what I can do most importantly is, from this day forward, my life's a mission for Christ. From this day forward, those God has crossed my path, I will tell the good news of the gospel. I will give my life for that cause. I will not count it as a sacrifice. I will count it a joy. I will count it an investment to be thought worthy to carry that message. Do you realize the holiness, the treasure you've been entrusted with, the riches God's given you in the gospel you carry forth? Do you realize what a treasure that is? Do you realize how priceless it is? What you have to offer is a cure for the whole world if they'll come. Amen? It's better than a cure for cancer. It's a cure for sin. Amen? And you've been given that. Entrusted with that. Timothy talks about that. Being entrusted with that gift. Don't take it for granted. Go tell. If you hear and you're not a Christian yet, the greatest tragedy would be that you would die without coming to Christ. That your pride will stand in the way of you saying, I'm a sinner and I need to get saved. That your pride would hold you back from coming and confessing. That you're worried about what folks would think. That's pride. Humble yourself and come to Christ. If you don't, you seal your own fate and you break His heart. God said He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God didn't make hell for man. He made it for the devil and his angels. Not for you. If you don't come to Christ, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. I'd encourage you this morning in a moment on the first verse of the song, Limitation, you come down that aisle and you take my hand like I did 39 years ago and say, Preacher, I got to know I'm forgiven. I got to know I'm going to heaven. We would be so happy with Bibles in hand to sit down with you and share with you the good news of the gospel and pray with you and help you come to Christ. If you are His, if you are saved, let me ask you, what is the mission for your life right now? What purpose are you living your life for? What are the goals of your life? What mark are you going to leave left behind in this world? Will there be anybody in heaven because of the life you gave to Christ? What is your mission? The altar is going to be open this morning. Always is. If you want to come and yield yourself more to Christ, if you want to come and pray for specific souls, maybe there's a calling upon your life that God put on you that you're going to come and say, Father, today I'll submit to that calling. Today, while I'll accept your will for my life, you and the Lord, It's your mission for Him. It's personal. What you do here is between you and your Lord Jesus Christ, you and the Father. You come and you deal with them about it. If we can help you with counsel, then you let us know. We'll sit down and counsel you. If you need guidance in some area, making a decision, we're here to pray with you. We're here to counsel you. But if you already know, you come. You kneel at His altar. And you let God deal with your heart. You humble yourselves. And dedicate your life to being a missionary in this world. Father, I pray now as we go to the invitation that You have stirred hearts this morning. I pray that Your Word and Your Holy Spirit has done what only You can do. And that it's drawing souls to Christ that are lost and those that are saved. It's going to make them a better missionary. It's going to give them a more passion for souls, a more desire, a more love to please You, and to give their life an investment to Christ and to count it a joy to do so. Father, You have Your way in the invitation. May it glorify the Lord Jesus Christ what takes place here. May it please You above all else. I ask in My Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Friend, if this message has been a blessing to you, or if we can help you in any way, please contact us at the Antrim Faith Baptist Church, P.O. Box 129, Zellinger, P.A., 17272. Or if you're in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, visit us at our church, 248 West 2nd Street, Waynesboro, PA, 17268, at the lower level of the Renaissance Building. We'd love to have you stop in with us. If you'd like to email me, it's Pastor Herb, PastorHerb, at Embark, EMBARQ, mail, mail.com. Thank you very much for listening. Lord bless you, and have a great day.